There are white people in this country and elsewhere who believe human beings are divided into races, that these races are hierarchically ranked, with the whites at the very top and the blacks at the very bottom and everyone else in between. They also believe that Jews may not even be human. They're convinced that whites have the divine or natural right to rule, that it is moral and their right to exploit the labor of those races beneath them. They, the white supremacists, believe that anyone who objects to this racial hierarchy deserves punishment. People of other races who resist this view are to be punished or eliminated. White supremacists abhor the idea of what they call mixing, through intermarriage or otherwise, of the different races. If they had their way, they would ban such pollution of their precious and pure race. These white supremacists are racist because they put race at the center of all human interaction. Thank goodness, these white supremacists are a very small minority. Even minuscule in this country and elsewhere. They hold no government power. Their resources in terms of economic, cultural, and social are negligible. You can mock them with impunity. They gather in obscure places online and in person. Their conventions ridiculous spectacles of odious costumes and pathetic fantasies. It wasn't always like this. For a number of centuries, from about the 16th to the middle of the 20th century, the world was theirs to exploit. Some prominent people in the West, writers, thinkers, scientists, theorized freely about racial hierarchy. And it didn't remain theoretical either. The slavery of black people by white people was justified in the name of these theories to give scientific cover to the subjugation. Paradoxically, this was the age of the Enlightenment, when such modern ideas as democracy, liberalism, and equality were being debated with vigor. A special anger was reserved for miscegenation, that's racial interbreeding, which was thought to be a threat that would bring about the decline of civilization. In his book, The War of the Worlds, my husband, Neil Ferguson, who is white and with whom I have brown kids, woo! notes that in its most extreme forms, hostility to what they call racial anarchy produced discrimination, segregation, persecution, expulsion, and ultimately attempted annihilation. White supremacy as an ideology was also virulently anti-Semitic. Neil observes, along with many other historians, that in claiming that Jews were systematically trying to pollute the blood of the German Volk, Hitler, and other National Socialist ideologues were saying nothing novel. It was also not unique that such ideas became the basis, not just for segregation, expulsion, but ultimately for systematic genocide. In America, segregation and anti-miscegenation laws were passed even after slavery ended. In European empires that were previously tolerant of interracial mingling, including marriage, the ideology of white supremacy applied. To cut a long and tragic story short, the ideology of white supremacy was once, until quite recently, potent, widely held, and well-resourced. It's no longer the case, because thankfully, not all white people were in fact racist. There were those who fought tooth and nail against that terrible ideology. Together with blacks and other people of color, they waged a campaign against it and won. They won in the sense that what is left of white supremacy today are a few ridiculous groups: skinheads, Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, groups with dangerous ideas and fantasies. How dangerous these ideas are is well documented and well understood. The vigilance against this cancerous set of beliefs is fully justified because we understand their potential consequences so well. However, to claim today that white supremacy is the biggest domestic threat we face is nonsensical, histrionic, and self-serving. To make comparisons between Jim Crow and the request for voter IDs in states like Georgia is to implicitly express contempt for the victims of Jim Crow and those men and women who fought against white supremacy. The ideology that threatens us today and has the potential to ruin our societies is a different one. It goes by many names, but I will call it wokeism. What is amazing to me is how race-centered wokeism is. In fact, in an eerie way, it has remarkable similarities with white supremacy. It also ranks human beings into races, with the white-skinned people still on top, except this time as the top oppressors of all other races. In the woke rankings, as in the white supremacist's ideology, various shades of skin color are distinguished. Some brown-skinned people, we are told, are white adjacent. But blacks are still at the very bottom, this time as their ultimate victims. Merit, punctuality, hard work, hygiene, individualism, objective truth, and the notion of lifting yourself up by your bootstraps, all of these things, the woke tell us, are manifestations of whiteness. If you're Jewish, you're white. Never mind that not so long ago, a serious attempt was made to eliminate Jews because they were considered pollutants to the white race. Wokeism, say those who have studied it, is an amalgam of postmodernist theories. Mad minds like Jean-Francois Lyotard, Jacques Derrida, Michel Foucault, cooked up the original potion in France because they were disappointed with the fruits of the Enlightenment. Then American scholars, most of them black, built their activism against racism, perceived or real, on this shaky house of theories. Derrick Bell, a black man, developed it further and centered it around race. What was critical theory became critical race theory. Kimberly Crenshaw seasoned it with something she called intersectionality. Aggrieved members of the LGBTQ plus community expanded these ideas further, and intellectual con men and women like Robin DiAngelo and Ibram X. Kendi monetized it. One reason why it's difficult to pin down what wokeism is that the theories of deconstruction are constantly expanded with grievance after grievance. Sometimes I think this ambiguity is intentional. If you can pin an idea, you can expose of it and bin it. But if its meaning keeps shifting with the grievance of the day, it becomes elusive. It's now social justice theory. Weirdly, though, it's not theory at all, at least the way I understand theory. For one, you can't treat it like other theories. That is by taking it through the process of scrutiny, falsification, or verification. Another key element is the contamination of language. Wokeism comes with its own lexicon. You may have heard woke speak words like microaggressions, safe spaces, equity, diversity, non-binary. But also, our existing language is constantly policed to become purified of any perceived bigotry and injustice defined only as the woke define these things. The main goal of the woke is to seek unchecked and absolute power, advancing from the academy and out into the other institutions of society. In America and the rest of the English-speaking world, there is no issue of any significance that we can discuss in any meaningful way without running into woke sabotage. Think about the challenges we face, from globalization, national identity and immigration, to inequality, healthcare, radical Islamism, the pandemic, climate change, the threat of authoritarian great powers like China and Russia, new technologies, and the opportunities and threats they introduce. None of these issues is free of woke speak. And in almost every case, we tend to bend towards where the arc of wokeness leads. Wokeism today, in my view, is a greater threat to our society than the discredited and defeated ideology of white supremacy. Just think about this. If the federal government were adopting the language of white supremacy, if the police units of some of the most powerful states in the United States were adjusting to their demands, if our military was holding white supremacy conscious training sessions. If our most prominent national sports teams were using white supremacy gestures, if Hollywood and other entertainment industries were editing their output or censoring it, and at times running propaganda for the cause of white supremacy, if elementary and high schools or universities were openly teaching the principles of white supremacy, what would we say at this or any other gathering that is concerned with the health of our society? Today, in none of these institutions is white supremacy tolerated. That's a huge milestone. Sadly, however, wokeism is the trending, rotten idea of our time, and it's embedded in almost every institution in our society. Wokeism, its narratives or theories, are dividing us once again into races and more. It's weakening our hard-earned freedom and faith in one another. It's threatening the future of our children. For those of us who recognize it as the threat it is, I believe we have no option but to fight it in just the way we fought white supremacy. Anti-racism, ladies and gentlemen, that is, as Ibram X. Kendi defines it, is the disease of which it purports to be the cure. If you think that white supremacy is the biggest domestic threat that we face, I want to say to you, get a grip.